Future presentation.
Welcome back to another Untitled Movie Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Rohrbeck, alongside, he's allergic to tomatoes, but he is tomato meter approved, Eric Marchin.
There's a new Marvel out that's supposed to be nuts.
good timing. Everyone can go check out the Friendship trailer.
The best Marvel movie of 2025. Woo-woo!
You don't know that yet. You don't know that yet.
Oh, I made
so
that claim.
Far of ones that you've seen, because we haven't seen the three others. Not technically a Marvel movie. You'll understand when you see the movie or the trailer. It's very funny. Go watch that. But yes, today we are going to do a little bit of a Captain America 4 Brave New World preview. Eric and I got to see about 30 minutes of footage from the film last week. Eric and I both also attended the press conference to Captain America Brave New World. And we wanted to do kind of a little bit of a preview show, kind of, you know, something we'd like to do a little bit more of. You guys might have listened to our 3-hour Super 2025 preview. Obviously, Marvel, big part of my love for movies and things like that. So I think this being the first Marvel of the year, a new era of Captain America, and a movie that I think both of us are a little bit, you know, skeptical of, or our hype levels are kind of low. We wanted to kind of go to this press conference and see this footage to see if that would, you know, change our mind and see what the, you know, Kevin Feige, Harrison Ford, Anthony Mackie, others had to say about the movie. So this will be a little bit of a preview show. The embargo has dropped for Captain America. And as you're maybe listening to this, Eric and I might be sitting in a screening of the actual movie, but there won't be any spoilers here. I'll talk a little bit about the footage that I saw, but nothing, you know, giving anything away. The footage we saw didn't really give anything away. Most of the stuff that you've seen in trailers and stuff already. And then our review will be dropping on Friday for the actual movie. But Eric, how are you?
I'm good, Matt. I'm good. It's interesting because, like you said, Captain America in general has not been necessarily, you know, my cup of tea per se. And with this, it does feel okay. Like, we're trying to make Anthony Mackie a leading man. And can that be sustainable? Or do we have to do the Spider-Man thing of pairing him up now with somebody that is a bigger name as a, you know, mentor or adversary type figure? You know, in the Spider-Man movies with Tom Holland, every film there has been sort of a co-lead, whether it be Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark, or, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio, and even a little bit of Jon Favreau as Happy Hogan.
Benedict Cumberbatch
in No Way Home. And with the Chris Evans Captain America movies, it was really solely him finding his voice and becoming the all-American hero type that would lead, you know, the Marvel characters, the heroes, into Endgame, you know, and that final confrontation. And so with the reboot of it, and this is a part of that conversation within that press conference, is, you know, post-Endgame, how do you sort of create a new path forward for Sam Wilson as Captain America? And we've already seen the Falcon and the Winter Soldier series, which was probably one of the weaker sort of mini series or launches for those characters.
Not Secret Invasion bad, but kind of just okay.
Yeah. But I mean, Secret Invasion bad, we should just take that off the table in general, because I feel like that's unfair to even Marvel movie standards or Marvel TV show standards. It's just like, that felt like, well, what are we doing at this point? But in terms of both staging, you know, Sam Wilson and then even Bucky for their individual roles moving forward, because we also have Thunderbolts coming out in May, and, you know, we might even touch on a little bit of the Fantastic Four First Steps trailer that premiered not too long ago that I'm sure will be playing in front of Captain America Brave New World. But I think the skepticism as well going into this movie, you know, we haven't watched the film yet, is that we've heard so many stories, news-related stories and rumors and hearsay about the reshoots of the film, and specifically the rewrites. There are five credited screenwriters on the film, including Julius Ona, who is the director who directed The Cloverfield Paradox and Loose. And so for that, you know, like, I think that's kind of maybe where also some of that skepticism is coming through, where, you know, is this going to be a Frankenstein style cut? Like, how much did they change? Obviously, you know, the inclusion of Giancarlo Esposito as Sidewinder, you know, that was a conversation. And that touches on something that you're also very fond of, which is wrestling, because he's replacing Seth Rollins in that role, which is also bizarre to think that he was in that role before, you know, Giancarlo Esposito, because usually a role like that would go to somebody who's an established character actor or veteran.
But maybe
the
Serpent Society was always going to be like a bit role, like a smaller thing. And then as they started putting the movie together with the, you know, we know that Tim Blake Nelson is returning as the leader. Like, this is as much as a Incredible Hulk sequel as it is, you know, a Captain America sequel, which is weird to say. But yeah, you know what, with the reshoots and all that kind of stuff, that is very inside baseball bubble kind of knowledge that I think. And like, I'll go into what I saw in the footage, and you're making a good point. And I think the people who are in the know might see some of that Frankenstein in the movie, but I think a general public never knows that happened and just kind of doesn't care. They never know Seth Rollins was cast. They never know it was done a whole bunch of reshoots and rewrites. And, you know, most Marvel movies have a lot of rewrites and reshoots, and some of them turn out wonderfully and some become Secret Invasion or Captain America or Falcon and the Winter Soldier, for different reasons, right? With Falcon Winter Soldier, there was a pandemic and a whole storyline that was very close to that they had to kind of remove because it was too close to reality and too soon after all of that. With this, we don't know exactly what happened other than the Seth Rollins Serpent Society replacing him with Giancarlo Esposito. And in the footage we saw, you know, it dropped us kind of right into the middle of the movie. I think it probably skipped an opening scene and we were in like that first act area. So saw an action sequence with, you know, Cap and Falcon and Sidewinder, and kind of the MacGuffin of the movie that we learn is adamantium, which you've seen in the trailers and then things like that. Don't get me wrong. Harrison Ford saying adamantium, you know, nips at full mast. But like it's still, you know, I saw during some dialogue sequences and things like that, some of that Frankensteining you're talking about where, you know, having a production background and you do as well, we kind of notice ADR a lot and basically weird cuts and edits. And I will say I did notice that in even this small piece of footage that they showed us. It was about 30 minutes. And you do see some weird cuts where they're cutting to an over-the-shoulder shot from the other side when someone's speaking dialogue, and you can tell that they're dropping in different lines or changing things up. It was noticeable to me, but I do think most people won't notice it. And I will say it was only noticeable through the edit and not through the audio. I will say the ADR is done pretty seamlessly in the sense of like it's not like certain... Yeah, the syncing and just the matching of the, you know, room tones and how the dialogue sounds back and forth. Sometimes an ADR line you can really tell is someone in a room delivering a line. But in this, the dialogue sounded fine, even though you could tell it was kind of pieced together. But the edits were what was distracting me at certain times. So I did notice that stuff to jump off the point you were saying. I think the rest of the footage with the action sequence and some of the kind of back and forth between Thaddeus Ross and Sam Wilson with Harrison Ford, obviously replacing the
William
late
Hurt.
Great William Hurt. Thank you. There are some cool stuff there. I like the vibe of the movie, the kind of political thriller, you know, presidential assassination attempt kind of. Winter Soldier, Captain America, the Winter Soldier vibe that they're clearly trying to kind of go after. I like that entire vibe. I will say after watching the footage, I went in, you know, not being that excited for this. And I'd say I was like, okay, And we were worried that it could be, you know, a disaster, right? I don't think the movie's going to be a disaster at all. I actually think the movie will probably be perfectly okay or perfectly fine. At least, like, we'll see. Like,
put it on the footage, poster.
But that's almost, I don't know. Yeah, obviously I want it. I know I'm, unlike you, I really do like Captain America the Winter Soldier and Captain America Civil War. So I do like the Cap franchise. I am with you with the Anthony Mackie stuff. I like the guy, and I think he's a great kind of supporting guy.
He's been in an ensemble, right? Like,
yeah.
You put him in a large cast, or, you know, he's the second or third, like something like the Hurt Locker. He's great in, but as a leading man, I even think Marvel has some hesitations because of making Harrison Ford so prominent, not only in the marketing, but even I wouldn't be surprised if they beefed up the role during those reshoots or as they were developing the film, because you were mentioning, you know, Winter Soldier kind of being, you know, an homage to paranoid thrillers in the 70s yeah. and 80s. This feels like, okay, because you have Harrison Ford in this and Harrison Ford's time in the 90s with his two Jack Ryan movies and Air Force One, that's where he became, you know, this figurehead of 90s action cinema. And it almost feels like it's invoking that a little bit as well with the espionage aspect of it, but like the blockbuster style of filmmaking that we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah. And I think that stuff all works. Like I do. And Harrison Ford is perfectly, you know, cast and a good replacement. You know, they do the whole Don Cheadle thing too, of just making a quick reference of how you look different.
Mustacheless.
But same. Yeah. But it's the same character. I think the action sequence at the beginning felt clunky at times. I still, again, Anthony Mackie, I'm okay with, maybe not as a leading man, but I think my biggest problem too is, like, I never liked the Falcon character. I never liked the suit. I didn't like the power set. I didn't like the wings. I didn't like just the character of Sam Wilson and Falcon. I just never connected with or clicked with. So when you see the Cap suit with the wings and you know, he's supposed to be, you know, more an everyman Captain America because he hasn't taken the super soldier serum and things like that. Like it just never quite worked, but never was like awful either. And I think that's going to be like my whole thing about the footage that I saw, was like, nothing made me go, fuck yeah, I can't wait for this movie. But nothing made me go, oh, this is going to be like a disaster. Like, I think it's just going to fall. Again, mind you, this is one third of the movie or, you know, just under a third of the movie that I saw. But there were some cool sequences. Like, I saw the whole, we've seen in the trailer, the Isaiah Bradley assassination attempt on President Ross and things like that. So we saw that whole sequence, which is done, like, it's really cool. But and kind of the back and forth between, you know, everything we're saying about how I don't think Sam Wilson as Captain America, you know, works, is they're playing into that, into the movie as well and into the character, which I think is probably smart. Right. And I hope, you know, at least by the end of this movie, I hope they make me, and they talked about this in the press conference, and we'll go that in a little bit. That's what Kevin Feige goes into, is like, by the end of the movie, they want you to believe in Sam Wilson as Captain America. And I'm still waiting for that, right? Like, the 30 minutes I saw didn't necessarily convince me. I'm excited to see Harrison Ford. I'm excited to see Harrison Ford Hulk out, you know, stuff like that. But, and then comparisons to the Winter Soldier are interesting to me, because like adding in Red Hulk, and, you know, I know that there was some, you know, superpowered stuff, obviously, with Winter Soldier and stuff in that movie. But having a Hulk in the movie, I think, goes into that. Does it just turn into the punchy, punchy CGI fest at the end, right? And
which a lot of these movies do, not just Marvel, which, though, but superhero.
No, yeah, yeah. And I'm, sometimes that can be fun, and sometimes it can be like, I've seen this a million times, right? And is a Red Hulk going to be any different than another Hulk? Like, we've seen Iron Man and Hulk fight and stuff like that, right? Like, is it going to be, now you have another guy in a super suit that's, you know, sure, it's vibranium, blah, 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 but you're fighting a Red Hulk. Is that really going to be,
what's a Red
that
Hulk?
that much different than what we've seen before? And I guess the stuff with the leader is the stuff that I am most interested in, because I am glad that they've kind of not shown us anything from Tim Blake Nelson or the leader. We've maybe heard his voice once in one of these trailers. And like, I think like Zola, is it Zola in Winter Soldier, the dude on the computer that's like, Arnim Zola, like being kind of like the puppet master, kind of like I was the guy doing the stuff, like the leader doing that could be interesting, but we didn't see anything from that. So I'll wrap up my thoughts on the footage. I kind of, you know, I'm still somewhere in the middle. Am I excited for this? Sort of, because it's a Marvel movie, but we're seeing it, you know, as you guys are listening to this, and I can't say I'm like, oh fuck, I see a new Captain America movie tomorrow, I'm pumped. Like, it's not there. And well, I mean,
especially
we'll
the release of this, right? Yeah. Because like, even again, this is all just inside baseball at this point, but like even the screening of it is much later than usual when it comes to one of these films, and the embargo is even, you know, strategically placed at a time where we'll be watching the movie as it lifts. And so
the premiere is tonight, though, as we're recording this, which is February 11th, the Tuesday, but which is pretty normal.
Yes, but usually like it's earlier in the week, right? Like to give you more time for press to write the review and to have everything good to go. And when they have confidence in the material, they will sometimes screen things even earlier. Obviously, you know, they want to avoid spoilers and, you know, post-credit scenes and leaks and stuff like that. And I totally understand that, especially, you know, with what happened with Sundance recently as well, even where I still think people, you know, will inherently spoil things if they, you know, get to see something early. And that's also the price that you pay when you invite, you know, influencers and things like that that want to get, you know, coverage. But the other person that we haven't really seen anything on that kind of plays into the Incredible Hulk side of things is Liv Tyler. We haven't seen any footage or references there, but she's supposed to be a part of the cast as Betty Ross.
That, I'm sure they're holding as a surprise, and only the people, again, who read casting news know that she's in the movie, right?
So. Yeah, but going back to what you're saying about like Tim Blake Nelson and the Incredible Hulk thing, there is that feeling of like, okay, they're salvaging what they can with those, with that movie back in 2008, Louis Leterrier's film, and you know, they're putting it in. And the Red Hulk thing obviously as well, like it's playing into almost like the McCarthy era, like the Red Scare stuff, the symbolism of it all, the history of it. So, you know, that's going to be interesting as well. Harrison Ford is a much different actor and movie star than, say, William Hurt, who is very problematic as a human being. But there is an interesting part of it because, like, Thaddeus Ross in the Ang Lee one, which was Sam Elliott, William Hurt in Leterrier's movie, and now you have Harrison Ford. I wonder with Harrison Ford moving forward what his role will be, or if this is just a one and done in the same way that's like someone like Robert Redford was, you know, in Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I probably, it's so hard to say. I do think, you know, it's probably a one and done, or maybe in Secret Wars if you can get Harrison Ford for something in Doomsday and in Secret Wars, if he stays as the president, who knows? But with all the Red Hulk stuff, I wouldn't also be surprised if it's just a one and done kind of thing, or even if they kill off the character, or what do they do? Like, the character's been around since, you know, that first Incredible Hulk movie. And I think, you know, it does, I think it sounds weird that this feels like a sequel to Incredible Hulk, but Hulk and Captain America have always been kind of intertwined because of the whole super soldier serum. And that's kind of what they were trying to recreate with the gamma and stuff like that. So I do understand bringing those two worlds together. It is interesting doing it so many years later and you know, after replacing one actor and having to replace a second actor now, but maybe bringing back Liv Tyler and Tim Blake Nelson. But I do think that will play a big role into if Sam should take the super soldier serum and stuff like that, having to fight people like Red Hulk and other things not being super powered and stuff like that. And, you know, comparing himself to Steve Rogers will be a huge part of it. But Eric, we both sat through the press conference as well. Anything top of mind for you? For me, what stood out is obviously Harrison Ford's hilarious all the time doing press. Like,
he's having a good time. And I think that's almost the secret weapon of this whole sort of press run, really, because I have quotes from him that are very funny when he was talking about why he signed on to the project. It was because of watching other actors that he admired, you know, taking on these roles and having fun. And he said, "I want me some of that," quote unquote, which is good. And I think like that's almost what's missing maybe in some of the marketing materials, and maybe the film isn't that in tone, but maybe some of that humor, if it is in the movie, will help a little bit. If there is a sense of humor or camaraderie, or because that's the other thing I'm not buying is the Danny Ramirez.
Oh yeah. Anthony, I should have brought that up too.
Back and forth banter.
It doesn't, I still don't buy it. And I saw 30 minutes of it. So
yeah, which it feels like they're trying to replicate the buddy formula and also trying to do what, you know, Steve and Sam had in those movies. And that can be like telling when it just doesn't work with the chemistry between those characters. And Danny Ramirez, nothing against him or anything, but he was such a, you know, small part in, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, that series, that now bringing him in and giving him this substantial role, it does feel like, okay, we're just trying to, you know, force pieces into place and see if they can work out. And that doesn't always happen with this kind of stuff. You can't force chemistry. You can't force that banter. And then when, you know, you see actors playing off of each other and it doesn't feel right and it doesn't sound right, you begin to suspect that, you know, like how much of that is written. So like you look at like what Shane Black did with Iron Man 3, like I, you know, obviously Cheadle and Downey Jr. at that point, you know, they had the relationship down, but it brought in that extra caveat of feeling like, oh, you know, you're bringing in the guy who wrote Lethal Weapon and kind of is known for the pulpy buddy formula. Here, it's just like, okay, are we going to do something that is just trying to replicate what those two other characters, Steve and Sam, had already? Or do we find like a new way of, you know, creating relationships? Because in the press conference, like the thing that comes up a lot is that, you know, Sam is also a counselor and that, you know, he's somebody that in his story, in his world of being an everyman, that he's able to listen to others and be empathetic to them. And Giancarlo Esposito mentioned that, you know, he said the line that you can't lead unless you can follow. And that's sort of been Sam's arc, right? He's been a follower throughout this franchise pretty much. And now he's taking on the role of leader. Not the leader, but, you know, is that going to be a role that people will buy him in? And will that be a role that Anthony Mackie can confidently take on in a way that can lead not only a film, but, you know, as the new face and voice and spirit of, you know, this franchise and going into will probably be Doomsday, right? Like that feels like that's where
you
got to
think it's we're going to keep saying leading into a, you know, obviously rumors of Chris Evans coming back for Doomsday, rumors of, you know, RDJ's Dr. Doom putting together basically the Dark Avengers to kind of be this kind of mirror to what this new Avengers team will be in, bringing back some of the old heroes as villains, whether Steve Rogers is now Captain Hydra from another universe. You have RDJ's Iron Man displaced and now a Doctor Doom. You can bring in, whether it's I don't think they'll go Red Hulk. It'll be some sort of other evil Hulk or something like that. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if you have like that dark set of Avengers. And then if you have Sam face off against Captain Hydra, I think you kind of almost need him to beat up Chris Evans to kind of prove himself as this Captain America. And I'm sure that payoff will be, I hope, satisfying when we get there, but I still do think that they have a lot of work. Yeah, the stuff with Danny Ramirez as as Falcon in this. They are just trying to kind of mimic a lot of the stuff in the other movies, which I totally understand. But that felt, it's obviously the comic relief in the movie, but it felt the most forced out of everything. Like it felt like that very, that Marvel kind of sitcom-y style humor that people kind of make fun of or cringe at or roll their eyes at. And, you know, oftentimes that stuff works and a lot of times it doesn't. But when it doesn't work more often than it does, that's when it kind of stands out more. And I did notice that a bit in the footage. And I like that they talk about that chemistry and stuff in that press conference. And again, they all know that they have something to prove here, right? Like it's, they were all very open about that, especially Anthony Mackie being like, he understands the kind of weight that is put on him in this character and in this role, and how people might be skeptical. And that was a big kind of theme throughout, other than Harrison Ford just kind of giving very short one-line answers that were great throughout the whole thing. And but it was interesting hearing Tim Blake Nelson talk about coming back after so long and having Giancarlo Esposito, who, you know, has been kind of typecast in these villain kind of roles, but it does still seem like he's thrilled to be a part of it and enjoy it. Again, to Harrison Ford's point, I think why a lot of big actors like doing these movies, sure, you get paid a lot of money, but two, it's not that serious, right? Like Harrison Ford's been very open about like, this isn't like, you don't need to go to acting school per se for this stuff. You're having fun. Like you don't need to take it so seriously, or you just get to go have fun at work every day. And hopefully if you see that come through all of these actors and onto screen and don't take it so seriously, even though serious things can be happening, remember it's a comic book movie and remember these should be over the top and kind of fun. And I think that comes through with most of the actors during the press conference.
And they probably don't have to sign, like someone like Harrison Ford probably doesn't have to sign on to a 3-4 picture deal. Like these legacy actors, you know, the people that you're bringing in that add like credibility, but also will get, say, our parents' generation interested in a movie like this to go to the theater. They probably don't feel like, oh, I'm signing, you know, my life away for the next 10 years, so to speak, where, you know, when they're hiring somebody for these lead roles, there is an obligation for them to be like, okay, well, I have to keep in mind that it's not just Marvel movies. This is any kind of big franchise in general. Like you look at what Daniel Craig kind of was talking about with the James Bond movies at the end of his run, where he was kind of getting sick of it and was missing out on other opportunities because he was contractually obligated to fulfill the role and do the sequel, and timing plays a part because, you know, when they're pitching a deadline, deadlines don't always, you know, work out. I mean, obviously Blade is a perfect example of that. And so, you know, like you have Harrison Ford, or as I mentioned, Robert Redford, like people that are just like, okay, I'm coming in, I'm doing my thing, and then I'm leaving. And if you want to bring me back for something, whether it be a voice role or, you know, like actually back
a
into
small
the franchise
role, yeah, like
again.
Even what William Hurt did in Civil War and a couple other things, right? Like he had one scene and then is gone again.
Exactly. So like, and so like it doesn't take a lot out of those actors.
Even Redford came back, right?
For Endgame. And then, but Redford also did a voice on What If. So, you know, like it's one of those things where those guys can come back, and Marvel has the means and the money and the resources to, you know, bring them back. But it's not like saying, okay, well, you know, you're signing a contract that says you're in this for the next 7 movies, you know. And I think like that's something that turns off a lot of actors, because it feels like you're tied to something, that it's like, well, let's do this one movie at a time and see how things go, instead of like simply, you know, signing my life away for a decade or so.
Well, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because I think some younger actors, it's a huge break for them, right? But then we've also seen that if you get locked into it for too long, that's what people know you as. And it's very hard to
do something else
after, right? And we're even seeing that with the biggest name people. Like look at Chris Evans after leaving the Captain America role. And yeah, like some of that stuff is just like, it doesn't always, people are like, well, you're Captain America now, or you're Spider-Man now, or whatever, right? And sometimes, you know, people can break out of that and keep doing other things, or you get typecast into like the big Hollywood blockbuster kind of stuff, you know, but sometimes like ScarJo's made a good career out of that. Chris Pratt, it's been up and down, right? Like, it's just like, it depends on who you are and what your agent gets you after, and you have to kind of like, even Sebastian Stan has having a breakout moment outside of it, right? Like,
that's Academy Award nominee Sebastian Stan.
That's what I mean, right? So it can ultimately, you can break out of it, but and you can do both, but it doesn't happen a lot. Like, you might get kind of pigeonholed into being this one thing when you're locked in for so long.
Well, even Downey Jr., right? Like, yeah, outside of The Judge and Due Date, like everything else that he did for that period was Iron Man based.
Until Oppenheimer. Right?
And then he was now I'm an actor again and I won the Oscar.
I'll go back.
How much are you paying me? Okay, I'm going back.
Yeah, totally. Or he's like, okay, I won an Oscar. I did my important thing. I'll do things with Nolan and Marvel now, just the two biggest things on the planet, right? Like, it's just jump back and forth between, because there's that rumor he might be doing a smaller movie with Nolan right after he finishes The Odyssey or whatever too, right?
Yeah. And the series that he did with Park Chan-wook for HBO, which nobody saw, including myself.
Sure. I didn't either. TV, man.
Yeah.
It's too much. Anything else stood out from the press conference? I just
not really. I think there is the curiosity of how much of the Incredible Hulk is going to be referenced, because obviously they're not going to bring Edward Norton back. That would be funny if they brought Norton back for Doomsday, where he's like the villain version of Hulk.
I like that idea of getting all the reject multiverse kind of.
Yeah, like if you could get Terrence Howard to come back or things, people like that.
Miles Teller's
or
fantastic.
Mickey Rourke comes back.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh God, Miles Teller. So to me, I don't know. I honestly, this is coming from someone that's like, I take every Marvel movie, you know, at an individual level. Yeah. You know, I'm not just simply going in liking something based on the brand itself. Like, I need to see how
the character
works.
Or whatever,
exactly. I can still like the characters and I can still like the world. It's just that I'm not going to, you know, give the movie the benefit of the doubt until I see the film. I think like each movie, and this is how I am with everything, where the film is the film, and even with directors I admire, it doesn't mean that they're always going to hit it out of the park. And it's the same thing with superhero films, where you need to base it on like, okay, well, the individual movie is what you're watching and what you're critiquing and what we're talking about. And you know, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And you know, like, my reservations come from simply that, where, you know, like, Marvel has created a machine in a way, and it's very successful, and it's, you know, kept theaters going, which is something to be applauded, and
there's
it's
pros
made
and cons
people happy
all,
and all those things are important. But this also does feel like we're still at a point where, you know, this is post Deadpool and Wolverine, so maybe the expectations of it doing as well as that movie are not going to meet that. It's just not going to happen. But I can also see, like, okay, well, we're living in that shadow of that success, and we're coming right after that, so there's a feeling of
is it going to be a failure?
Even if it's not a failure, you know, like, that's the thing here.
Well, that's so hard when like you said, this machine's gotten so big, right? And I know we're in a little bit of a wonky phase of Marvel. You have its haters, you have the people who are lovers, you have people that are kind of indifferent now, and like, I think this isn't necessarily going to be that one like Deadpool and Wolverine that bring, I think it'll do fine. I think this is just going to be one of those movies, and again, we'll have to see. We're seeing it right now as we speak.
Yeah.
So
we should like upload our like consciousness into this moment and tell you what we're seeing.
Yeah.
But that like might this, be pirating.
Yeah, this press conference and the footage, like, it made me, don't get me wrong, it made me a little bit more like, okay, I am ready for another Marvel movie. I am excited. As long as this is that, you know, I think this movie will be fine if it ends up being that 3 out of 5 for like even the Marvel people. Like for you, it might end up being a 2.5 or something like that, right? The people who aren't Marvel people. But I don't necessarily, I don't know, that's saying that, but then you're hoping that this guy is going to be, you know, your front man moving forward. Does it need to be more? And then when it comes to box office and all that stuff, yeah, even if it makes $80 million opening weekend, is that a failure, right? Like that's how big these movies are now and like how much you need to make back from them. We've seen, you know, the Marvels and a couple other ones. Again, we're still in this weird time. We said post Endgame, post Deadpool Wolverine, but we're also in the post actors strike. So actors or yeah, actors
both,
strike,
both
and writers. Yeah. And post COVID and things like that, where, you know, and to kind of sum everything up, we mentioned them earlier. Like we've gotten the trailer for this. We've gotten the trailer for Thunderbolts. We've gotten the trailer now for Fantastic Four. And I think you do see a shift in that Fantastic Four trailer. It does feel like a sort of launching off point of being like that. This is the leftovers from COVID and the actor strike and the writer strike, hence 5 writers and all these different things we heard about them. And then Fantastic Four, while it does feel like that was a quick turnaround, does feel like, okay, we are going into Doomsday. We're going into Secret Wars. I know it feels like we sort of got there quickly, but that was because of all these kind of ups and downs and these things that are happening. And it feels like a fresh starting off point. I will say that I am more excited for Thunderbolts than I am this movie from everything I've seen. It just seems more interesting to me. I think the action appeals to me more. I like the weird group of characters that they're putting together of like this, again, Secret Avengers kind of team.
Matt doesn't stop talking about Taskmaster every time.
I love Taskmaster.
But I
actually do
that,
like that character,
thing.
But not the movie version. But yeah.
Yeah. But the thing that you also mentioned, I think we also should include, is that this also feels like it is wrapping up an era of Marvel where everything got a sequel or spinoff or was greenlit, and now they're trying to be more conservative and, you know, either tie up those loose ends and, you know, basically say like, okay, moving forward, we're not going to make another 3 Ant-Man trilogy, or we're not going to do another Agatha All Along spinoff series based on a character that is popular within a franchise. Like I think the age of those stories, the excess is maybe over for now, because there was a point where Marvel, it was being oversaturated in the market.
Oh, yes.
And we got
and I think we're at a, which is a good thing, and they've talked about that, okay, we need to slow down and like really kind of, if we're going to do these, make sure the individual things are great. So instead of giving you 4 movies a year and 5 TV shows, we're still getting a lot, don't get me wrong, but it does seem like it's like, okay, let's take a breath. Like this is the first Marvel movie since Deadpool and Wolverine, which was last summer, right? Like it's so, it is, I don't mind that, especially in this, if you talk about Disney as a whole, the Star Wars realm is doing kind of a similar thing and stuff like that, which I just think less is more sometimes, and really focus on, because you're going to see it's diminishing returns, right? The more you put out, the less special it feels, the less, you know, Kevin Feige's involved, the less, you know, people really like it, if you do less, you can focus on more. And then I feel like it's a good thing.
They become event films again.
And this might be the leftover of the saturation era, right? Like, so, which is fine. We do need a new Captain America. We do need, like, this is a franchise that I think should keep going. But, you know, Mackie is 3 years older than Chris Evans. Like, it's not like you're starting with some like fresh,
some
new guy. It's like, this guy's only going to be Captain America for the next 4 years, probably. And then like, you're going to have another new Captain America when you reset the universe after Secret Wars. Right. So it's hard to, I am excited for it. The footage did a little bit more. The press conference was fun to listen to. I am looking forward to seeing it. I am still skeptical about it all, right? But I am looking forward to Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four and how they build this multiverse saga. What we're going to see into this, we'll find out. But thank you all for listening. We will have a full review of Captain America Brave New World on the release date, which is this Friday, February 11th, 14th, Valentine's Day. Happy, sorry, 11th is today as we're recording. So it'll be Valentine's Day morning. We'll have a review for Captain America Brave New World where, you know, Eric and I, non-spoilers probably, we'll go into everything, and then I'm sure we'll hypothesize about the future of the MCU like we usually do at the end of those episodes. And Eric always is very kind to just listen to me go on and on and on about it. So,
you know,
anything else before we go?
Not really. I think ultimately, you know, it's almost more interesting with this, you know, like even this conversation, you know, it's like Disney like asked us to do this where, you know, they don't normally ask us for this kind of coverage unless they need like that extra bump, where I don't think they'll ask us to do anything for Thunderbolts or Fantastic Four, because I do think there's more of an interest there and it sells itself, where this feels like it needs a little bit more. And maybe the other thing as well that does help this a little bit is that it's an early year release and people are just looking for something, you know, post awards and Oscars and stuff like that. That's a bit of
it's
a
the first big
cleanser.
Movie of the year, right? Yeah. So that actually might, we might be underestimating.
The summer
how well
starts
it will
on
do.
February 14th.
All right. Thank you all. We'll be back Friday morning with that review of Brave New World. You can also check out our review of Osgood Perkins' The Monkey. You can go listen to that right now as well. Please go check out Eric's other reviews at rogerstv.com/cinemascene. You can follow both of us at Matt Rohrbeck and at EM6211 or at ericmarchin.bluesky.whateverthefuck. And find us everywhere else. Letterboxd, Untitled _ Movies. We've been updating that. Go look at our list of the most anticipated films of this year. If you don't want to listen to a 3.5 hour episode, but shout out to everyone who, said that they listened to that. I really appreciate it. It's so long. I got a couple messages being like, I just finished that magnum opus you guys put out about every movie coming out this
and
year.
And I still haven't seen The Brutalist.
Yeah. So thank you. Until next time.
To quote Harrison Ford on his performance as President Thaddeus Ross, and nobody stopped me. I just went for it.
Hell yeah, dude. See everyone.